Thank you for singing with us this morning. We'll continue our little series on what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Paul reminds us in Philippians that there is a more excellent thought process than that people usually undertake, and we're using those ideas as we move forward. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. For the text in the pew there, it's going to be page 1657. 1657. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. I would encourage you, if you have opportunity, to memorize these verses because it will help you in your thinking. At the very least, just take the word that you are to think about. And so, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just. At least get those down, but it's probably helpful to get the whole thing, because in times when you are not thinking about something and you need something, it's a lot easier for you to call to remembrance something that you already learned. It's really hard to remember what you have not studied. When I was in school, I went to a Christian school, and every time we got ready to take a test, somebody would pray, the teacher would pray, or they would call on somebody, and they would inevitably do the same thing. Lord, help us to remember what we have studied. I was wanting people to pray for the miracle. Lord, bring to that knowledge things that I have never known before. Right? I managed to get through. I don't know how, but the Lord was gracious. I remembered enough to pass a large number of the tests. But when we are facing circumstances in life, I believe God is capable of bringing new information to us so that we handle the situation right. But it is likely easier for us if we have had knowledge in advance for it to come to remembrance. How do I deal with this? Oh, I remember that. That's a lot better than trying to remember something from nothing. But either way, God is at the center of it all. Let's read verses 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4, page 1657. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I won't be able to quote it. I didn't get the whole thing copied over, but there was somebody that said that if you can get people to think, you don't have to worry about their behavior. And they were talking about people feeling poor about a very specific condition that they had. It was a situation that was truly beyond their control. And you don't have, and the quote went on further that says, you don't have to teach people to act inferior. All you have to do is teach them to think that they're inferior, and they will take care of the rest themselves. And I suspect any one of us here can bear a record of that, where somebody somewhere said something and it has had a profound effect on us. And generally, those are the negative things. Some of the classical examples in my life is I was told not to put myself in the category of preachers. And to this day, when somebody said I did a good job, it makes me cringe because I have to justify that comment against that comment. And you all will say which comment is more pertinent. And in my experience, for whatever reason, that comment carries more weight than what has been expressed. We've had that comment that probably came across us. Why are you doing that? You must be, and then we fill in the blank, stupid, you must be a loser, you must be that. And then all of a sudden, that one comment is all it takes for us to decide that what? I'm not valuable. This is how important our thinking is. And so if we can change our thought process, we can genuinely and truly change our behavior and our conduct, and it will almost happen without our intervention. And today we are looking at that idea of thinking about things that are just. I would venture to guess that everybody wants justice, equity, fairness, righteousness. But how many of you have heard this phrase? Life is not
fair.
And you know why life is not fair, right? Because there's no cotton candy.
That's the only reason.
Life doesn't seem fair. Hard workers can lose their job. People that are intoxicated kill what type of people? Right? Powerful people manipulate the system to get what they want. Cheaters seem to win more often than they lose. With some of these just such obvious things that we all have experienced, what are we to think? How are we to think? Scripture tells us that we are to think what? Whatsoever things are just. We need to think justly. So we need to be very careful in defining terms. What does just mean? And I would suggest that we need to work very diligently at adjusting an understanding, because we all want life to be fair, but we don't necessarily want it to be just. And here is why that works for us. Because things that are fair don't have a objective measuring point. Think about those circumstances in life. Do we have knowledge of somebody that has a specific music skill? Does anybody know anybody that's just gifted musically? We all know somebody. Felipe, what was that? You were pointing. We got a bunch of people over here. I think they're pointing to the piano player, the wife, my wife. I tell people my daughter got all her talent from me, because I got none. She took all of it, every bit that I had. She got all of it. But why is one person able to do this and another person's not? We get into physical world, the real world physically. We have certain things that we need to do, and somebody like my daughter would be, I can't reach that because I'm not tall enough, and she's not really that short, but she couldn't reach it. Why are some people taller and some are shorter? And I've encountered people that were taller than my daughter who lamented that they were tall. And it was like, it's not fair that I'm taller than everybody else. They make fun of it. It doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. Now, my daughter, I never thought of her as that small, but she never wanted to be called fun-sized. But she gladly coined a new phrase. And so if you find yourself small of stature, I would offer this as an encouragement. Don't be fun size, but be just compacted awesomeness. Compacted awesomeness. Doesn't matter. It seems unfair. And it, all of a sudden then, in this circumstance, it's unfair for all of these people, but for that person, it's what? It's just right. And then in this circumstance, it's unfair for all of these people. And pretty soon, when we try to define fairness, what is fair? There is no real answer for that. And so we want life to be fair because we want life to measure up to what standard? My standard. And if it measures up to my standard, I will be glad to tell you that it was what? Fair. But when it doesn't meet my standard, life is then easily declared as what? Unfair. But think of the word that we were presented today. Whatsoever things are just. Do we have a concept of what justice is like? Let's take that simple quiz. I took a class called History of Civilization. And about every week, the professor, in his booming voice, very distinct voice, would start the class after prayer saying this: take out a half a sheet of paper. And then he would read a question, and then we would write the answer down. And then he would read question 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then we would put our names, and then the person that was responsible for all of the mechanics, our tutorial teacher is what they were called, and we'd pass them to the center of the aisle, and they would get passed out, because this was a class of about 300 people. And then the tutorial classes were about 25. And they had to grade them. And all of a sudden, we knew we were correct when what happened? My answer matched what answer? The professor's answer. And every once in a while, we've all had this test that we've taken. We knew we had the right answer, and we had to do what? Convince the teacher that our answer was as what? Correct as theirs. What are we trying to do? We're not trying to find fairness in that situation. What are we trying to find? We are trying to take what I did and elevate it to what level? The benchmark. The master list. My answer is just as good as theirs. How many of you have ever had that time where you were able to convince the teacher that your answer was just as good as theirs? Doesn't that feel good? How many of you had the experience like I did? More of the time, I never won that battle. Can I suggest to you that in life, if you find yourself in a contest between you and God, and you are trying to define what the standard should be, and if your answer rises to his answer, you will always find that God will always win that debate. God always wins. Why? Number one, he knows more about the circumstance than you do. I would suspect that many of us know what certain capacities that we have, what capabilities that we have. But does anybody here know every single capacity that they have? Well, you've never encountered every circumstance, so you don't know what you might be able to do or not be able to do. You find yourself, at least I find myself, fascinated with these circumstances where somebody has been working on a car and the car fell off the jack, and here comes this little petite lady and she comes and picks the car up. Anybody pick a car up? No, you can't do that. But there are examples of that happening. How do you know you can do that until what happens? You're in that circumstance. You know who knows those circumstances already? God does. So he is able to determine what is just, what is the standard that we all have to face. I would honestly think that many of us, well, I would say all of us, are able to quickly recognize injustice. We are really confident that we know what injustice is. After all, don't we really know that if it's inconvenient for me, if it makes my life uncomfortable and unfulfilled, then it's obviously what? It's unjust because I did. But is that how Scripture lays everything out? And I just want us to look at basically three ideas concerning justice that I think are relevant for us. Number one is there are major things that are considered right and wrong. If we were to let Scripture speak to us of what is right and wrong, what are some of the standard answers? How do I know what God expects? Where do I go in Scripture? Anybody heard of the Ten Commandments? That would be the obvious place to start, right? It's just 10 words from God. Thou shalt not. And if I do the things that God says not to do, should I be concerned about consequences? If I do exactly what God says not to do, trust me, I grew up, I was just like everyone else here in this room. My parents told me not to do something, and I deliberately did that. I'm sure. Did anybody else do that? Mom said, don't do this. And you, how many of you found that goes really well for you? If on this level, child-parent, it doesn't, you do exactly the opposite of what you're instructed to do, it doesn't go very well. If God says don't do something and that's what we do, would we be surprised that there's consequences? That life just doesn't work very well. And we go, well, no, obviously not. So here is my first idea, very simple. This would be Captain's obvious answer to this. Learn what God says to do and not to do. And if you start doing the things that God says to do, you won't have a lot of time to worry about the things of not to do. We all spend all this time about trying to figure out what not to do. Let me just reverse this and let's just get busy doing the things that we should do. And there'd be a lot less time worrying about what not to do. Or maybe it's the world at large has learned to do this. Because the Bible commands us to be kind one to another. As a general rule, our culture is so kind. And we are so nice to people. In fact, that bullying is no longer an issue because people are kind. There is no discriminatory actions, which will actually be one of our questions here in just a little bit. But there are, because we are so kind with everybody. And we go, what? There are huge problems all around us, and if I am not careful, I can get sucked into many of them myself, being unawares. And we say, well, how did I get here? Can I say it's just because you weren't being kind? Find the things that you're supposed to do and do those. And then when you do encounter that thing that you shouldn't do, this is going to be a hard thing to understand, okay? Just don't do it. Don't do it. I'm trying to think of an example that doesn't single people out, but this is one of those things that I think is just so simple. How many of us have encountered a circumstance where we were told not to talk during a specific time? Anybody have that experience? I listened to a podcast where, I don't remember what year it was, which I'll have to go back and find it out, but a group of high school students, they were 15 to about 18, 15 to 16, 17, went to a movie theater. They were playing a movie. It was a very serious movie. The students weren't very prepared for the content of the movie. And because they were 15 years old, they acted like 15-year-olds do. What do? They talk. And then when there were things that seemed a little bit out of place, there was content that was really mature content that adults should have apprised them of. They started to laugh and snicker. And all of a sudden, these kids started acting inappropriately in the movie theater. And it created quite a national uproar. And it played out. And it got people involved, like the governor of California. It involved a movie producer, kind of a lesser known guy by the name of Steven Spielberg. Apparently some of you know about him. And then as a result of this, after the aftermath, he made a surprise visit and talked to the students that were there. And one of the students asked him a question, and he made one of his movies in response to the question. But how many of us have been told not to talk and found ourselves talking? Why? We just chose not to do what we were told to do. I can just tell you that life is a lot easier if you just don't do what you're told not to do. I'm not saying that it's easy to do that, but just do what you're told. It goes pretty easy. When it comes to the things that God says, these big things, do what God says and don't do what he says not to do. And if we find ourselves wrestling with the question, after this life, have I done enough? Did I do enough of the right stuff? If that's the measure that we're using, which is a measure that I think is very faulty and filled with a lot of faults, but I know a lot of people that do that. If that's the strategy that we've got, could I inquire of an individual like that? I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I'm not asking you to do it now. But if you want to tell me, I believe that I will get to God's presence forever because I did the right things often enough, could you tell me what those are? We just made an acknowledgement that the Ten Commandments would be a good starting place. Can anybody name all 10 of the commandments? Thou shalt not. Okay, there's one. Thou shalt not.
Bear false witness.
Okay, thou shalt not kill. I've heard thou shalt not steal, kill.
Bear false witness.
Bear false witness. Have any other gods?
Covet thy neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant.
Okay, so there's five.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Yeah. All of a sudden, we have somebody that is demonstrating my point about justice explicitly. What did he do? What did he do? He went to the standard, and he is bringing it to our attention because we were going to fail in naming all 10, weren't we? And yet, we are confident that I am doing well enough to get past God. Seriously? How many are doing well enough to get past your parents? How many of us are doing well enough to get past our teachers? How many are doing well enough to... And all of a sudden, if I can't manage to do well enough here, well, God, I did well enough. God, you got to be fair. Obviously, God says, here's what to do, what not to do. Whose responsibility is it to learn the rules?
Yours.
It's ours. It's each one of ours. I play little games with people. I'm sure many of you have known this. I call them street smarts. That's not a really fair analogy. But let's just see if anybody here, I don't want to single anybody out, so I'll just do this collectively. Very simple thing. Bob's mom has three children. The first name of the child is Nicholas. The next name of the child is Penny. And the third name of the child is what? Come on now. We got Bob. How did you get that?
Bob's mom.
Yeah, you listen to what's going on, but most people look at that. Sally's mom has four daughters, April, May, June, and?
Sally's mom.
But how many of you thought July? How many found it hard to say Sally? Right? Once you know the rules of how that's played, guess what? How often can you be successful at it? 100%. Every time. Why?
Because you know the rules.
And then I did what? Followed them. Do you want to be successful in life, in the big picture of things? I don't know very many people that say, I want to be a failure in this. I want to be successful. And then when you start asking people what the rules of life are, well, I don't really know. Because life is not what?
Fair.
Because it's not fair, I don't try very hard. No, life isn't fair, but guess what? In the last analysis, because God is the one that set the rules and God is going to judge the rules, guess what? Life is always going to be, in the end, just. Even though in this moment, it doesn't seem like it is. And that's why we stumble. Why do we need to change our thinking? Because I look at this present circumstance and say, this situation hurt me. It's not been justly handled. And we fail to take into account one thing. God's not done yet. I have to change my thinking so I don't look at myself as the sole arbitrator of what's just, but I let God be that. I don't look at this moment and circumstance, and guess what? There are significant things in my life that I could share, and it would bring disappointment to people, it would bring remembrance to people that just don't want to think about the issue. And I could say, the way this circumstance was handled, it was not very just. But I have to alter my thinking and say this, God's not done yet. So don't judge until the end has happened. So we have this big category of what's right and what's wrong. And we've kind of touched on the next one here. There are these things that we need to consider. We call them indiscretions, mistakes, lapse in judgment.
Oopsies.
Right? After all, we know that everybody's got to treat me a certain way, but have you ever stepped on somebody's foot and then they got all bent out of shape at you and you're going, what? Why'd you do that? We blow up at them. And why do we get ourselves so worked up over somebody else's mistake, indiscretion, accident? Why? Why do we find ourselves in that spot where something little happens and we blow up? It's not because it's not fair, but it's because we have valued ourselves as having been immune to that activity. I am too good for that to happen. I value myself, and therefore anything that comes across me needs to be dealt with appropriately, right? Does that make sense? Isn't that how we think? We won't say that because it makes us sound pretty bad. But the reality is, if somebody does something that I don't like, I get all upset because they didn't value me as much as they should have. Right? Is that real? A moment. If God is who he says he is, if the character and nature of God is what he says it is, if God is always good all the time, if God is always holy all the time, if God is always perfect, and I do my little infractions, should God give me a free pass? Why? Why? Because God is of imminent value, and we should treat him accordingly. Do I think in those terms? Not as much as I should. And then, our last point is when we start thinking about justice, it really starts impacting our view of other people. James has a big section on this where he describes a scenario where somebody walks into a public service all dressed up in contemporary garb and they look the part and they walk in all prim and proper and you give them a good place to sit and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and they are in drab, cheap apparel. And we say, oh, go over here. We don't want you to disrupt the service. James says what? Do not have respect of persons. None of us want to be on the low end, do we? if we're really honest with ourselves, we cover it to be on the high end. I want to be here without having done anything. But still, that doesn't seem to be consistent. Heard a story. I don't know if it's true or not. I would love to have been part of this on one level. I really would love to be able to pull this off. I don't think I could. A guy walks in to a church, all dressed like a really homeless person, and everybody kind of shuffles him off. Nobody really pays any attention to him. And they said from the pulpit, "We are so excited today because our new pastor is going to be here, and we'll wait for him to come, but just a minute, I'll introduce you to Pastor Smith." And then as the announcement was made, that homeless-looking person stood up, walks to the front and says, "I'm Pastor Smith. I think we all need to go home and evaluate where we are." I would love to be able to pull that off, because we all think we are immune from having respect of person. And we're justified in it. Well, we think we're just, but we're really not. Jesus gives a parable. A man has a vineyard. He hires people early in the morning at about 6 o'clock and agrees to pay them a day's wage. People then come again at 9 o'clock and he agrees to pay them a day's wage. They come at noon and he agrees to pay a day's wage. And then at 5 o'clock at night, since they have a 12-hour day from morning to night, at basically 5 o'clock, 6 in the morning to 6 at night, at 5 o'clock, another little group comes in and he says, "I'll pay you the day's wage," and they work an hour. And at the end of the day, the people that worked all day said this: "It's not fair." The ones that worked from noon says it's not fair. And the ones that worked only an hour think that they got some special privileges. And Jesus says this: "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." And it's not that they are switching roles. What Jesus is saying is this: all people come to God equally, and God judges us not based on fairness. Because when we look at that, it's not fair. But when we look at it from the perspective of what did each one of the groups agree to do? They agreed to the same terms. We come to God not because of what we have done. We enter the presence of God because of what Jesus has done. And folks, if we are to think justly, you and I will come to God on the same basis. He has finished the work. And it's a difference between doing and being done. Let me ask you this. If I am doing things to get God's favor, can I truly say it's done? I can't say it's done, because I am what? I'm doing. It's not done yet. So when does it get done? Well, it was done with Jesus. And if he has brought me in, and everybody has the same problem that I have, how can I evaluate myself above another person because of this arbitrary trait, of that arbitrary trait, because of this social economic position, because of this country of origin, because of how can I stand as a respecter of persons if I enter the presence of God because of what he has done? God doesn't respect people that way. Does God hold us all accountable for sin? Absolutely, positively, and we need to point that out. But folks, we need to learn to think justly. Justly. There is no partiality to it. This group gets a pass because we all are judged based on truth. It is applied equally across the board and is independent of any perceived advantage or disadvantage. Very simply, do we think justly? I would think that there is room for improvement, starting with the person standing here. And I would suggest that we just barely started to explore the idea of just thinking as it relates to what Scripture says. Do we think justly? Father, I ask that you will help us to be people that truly look at you.